Well, good morning, everyone. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 a.m. on Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Krashas. On the meeting are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. My opening comments, actually, normally I would probably wait until the end of the regular portion of the meeting before we go into admin. But we have three meetings this afternoon, informal hearings with MDU, with NSP, and then also with Otter Tail. And it's related to deferred accounting for COVID-related expenses. This is to hear what the companies have been experiencing, to see what type of additional cost, if any, that they've incurred as a result of the pandemic and having to change their business practices. So we will see how that turns out, but I think it'll be a very good discussion. I'm sure it'll be enlightening and educational. I know it will be for me to hear more about how this has impacted them. And then we will work with it from that point on and make determinations. It's not a promise to reimburse. It's just letting the companies make their case on applications that they filed on April 24th. So I look forward to that. Not the extenuating circumstances or the underlying cause for having the meetings in the first place, but just to hear from the companies and to see what where they are at. So outside of that, that would conclude my comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any opening comments this morning.
Commissioner Christman.
Nor do I. I'll have a few comments during some of my agenda items, but not right now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We have 14 items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, moving into regular. I may have to pause just for a minute. Okay, everyone's going to have to bear with me and hang tight. I will be back in 1 minute.
Can I help?
I will take a quick look. I think I know where they're at.
Yes. Yeah, just come back in and we should be fine. Randy froze, so he's coming back.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry about that. Matt, we are still live.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, can we pause for just a moment? We've lost one of our commissioners.
Okay. So did he have a interruption in service? Okay.
you what, I'm going to text you the Bible number and the code. We'll do that for now. Okay.
Okay, so we'll have Randy then on just over the telephone, but not on video, which... Was that Bismarck?
Yeah, he
appears to be. Oh. So, Commissioner Crisman, can you hear us? Oh. So I would anticipate he'll be live again, or at least back on in, what, 60 seconds?
Yeah, give or take.
Okay. Commissioner Crisman, can you hear us?
I hear you fine.
Okay. And Commissioner Fedorchuk, are you ready to move forward again?
I am.
Okay. All right. On the regular agenda, my first item, I move the commission find the formal complaint filed by the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff on June 23rd, 2020 states a prima facie case and serve the complaint on the respondent and Public Service Commission Hanson's Concrete Masonry and Landscaping LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-19-303.
Second.
Okay, on this particular case, on August 27th of 2019, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from a field operator, operations supervisor for MDU, Paul Riley. The complaint alleges a violation by Hanson's of North Dakota Century Code 49-23-04 of the one-call excavation notice system by failing to provide an excavation notice to the North Dakota one-call center at least 48 hours before beginning the excavation. Staff did issue a letter informing Hanson's of the MDU complaint. Of that filing, that was on August 28th, 2019, requested a response by September 12th of 2019, and despite leaving voicemails as well, in addition to the letter that was sent out, and these voicemails were left on December 2nd, 2019, February 26th of 2020. We have still not heard back from this particular company. And what occurred while performing landscaping in Watford City, without the one-call ticket and without having lines properly marked, the excavator did hit a 1-inch steel natural gas service line. And the cost of the repair for that facility was approximately $2,900. So in this particular instance, since we believe a violation did occur, staff does, and the fact that the company has not responded back to our attempts to contact them, the next step in the process is we will be sending out, staff will send out a certified letter. The company will have 20 days to respond. If they do not respond, then we will move forward as we see fit. So the company, it would be to their benefit, I would say, without question, it would be to their benefit to respond. Right now, the fine, the proposed fine by staff is $1,500, I believe. And I think it's worth noting that for a brief period of time, there were 8 customers affected by the outage, and actually for 3 hours total. So we believe a violation, or staff believes a violation, certainly occurred based on the evidence and the complaint filed. And again, the company has not yet responded. So I really hope this does get their attention, because this is a serious matter and we'd like to get it resolved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, the second item, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission, Burlington Electric Incorporated, damage prevention enforcement case number PU-19-341.
Second.
This relates to a complaint that was received on October 15th, 2019. Again, the complaint was received from Montana Dakota Utilities, and it alleged a violation by Burlington Electric, again, of the North Dakota Century Code, the one call law. A letter was sent to Burlington on October 15th, or I take that back, on October 16th, the following day. Related to the complaint, the North Dakota One Call complaint, Burlington did respond relatively quickly, sent a response back to the commission, so quite different than the previously described case. They were diligent. They responded back. Staff worked with them on a consent agreement, and I'll give the details on that shortly. But the violation was that Burlington failed to provide an excavation or location notice at least 48 hours before beginning any excavation. And that's a requirement, except for in very select emergency situations where excavation can begin without the ticket. But this wasn't the case on this particular violation. A 1.25-inch plastic gas service line was hit in Burlington. One customer was affected, and the damage was approximately $500. And as stated again, North Dakota Century Code provides that, except in an emergency, an excavator shall contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation. And an excavation, as defined, begins the first time an excavator begins moving dirt in an area that was not previously identified in an excavation notice. This would be a fine of $1,500. That is what advocacy staff believe should be assessed, and I'm in agreement with that. And Burlington would remit $750 of that penalty, the civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission. The other half, the other $750, would be suspended on the condition that Burlington commit no further violation of North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 49-23, again, the one-call law, within 5 years of the date of the order. If they should violate North Dakota one-call law within 5 years, then they would have to remit the other $750. And, you know, we have seen a decline in terms of the number of cases that have been processed and violations that have occurred, and that has been happening steadily over the past 3 years. We've seen a continued decline, but when there are still incidents that occur, it means we still have more work to do as well. So while we're certainly seeing improvement in terms of those types of calls, we can always get better, and it goes back to education. This is a first-time offense, and the company was very good in terms of responding back, working, agreeing to a consent agreement in the process. So I certainly appreciate that, and it helps because they certainly don't want to hit facilities out there as well, and they learned a little bit more about the law and the process.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. My third item, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission, Heartland Excavating LLC, damage prevention enforcement, case number PU-19-365.
Second.
On November 15th, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint. Again, this was from Montana Dakota Utilities, alleging a violation by Heartland Excavating LLC, again, of the North Dakota One Call law. On November 18th, 3 days later, commission advocacy staff sent a letter to Heartland enclosing the November 15th complaint. And on February 27th, 2020, Heartland sent a response to that letter that advocacy staff sent. And then on July 2nd, 2020, a consent agreement between staff and Heartland was filed for the resolution of the North Dakota One Call complaint. This occurred near Horace. Or actually, I should say, in Horace. You know what? I'm going to back up a little bit. Heartland Excavating is located in Horace. The damage actually occurred in Minot, North Dakota. So in this particular instance, the violation was that Heartland violated a section of the one-call law for using a location for more than 21 days after the planned excavation date. So the ticket had essentially expired, and some of the flags were missing, some of the markers were missing, and they will wash out the paintings on the ground. They don't last forever, so that's a part of why there is a 21-day window. And as a result of going beyond the 21 days after the ticket expired, a plastic 2-inch gas main line was damaged. That, again, was in Minot. Seven customers were without gas service for approximately 1.5 hours. No monetary damage estimate was provided in this particular case. And then, again, as stated, North Dakota Century Code is that you have 21 days from when a ticket is issued to do the excavation. Once that ticket expires, an operator, an excavator, would have to go in and get that renewed in order to continue doing work. So a very important component. As a result of this, Heartland is assessed a civil penalty of $1,600 if we approve this, and I do support approving it. And, again, this is similar to the last one. $800 would be payable to the Public Service Commission, $800 would be suspended on the condition that no violation occurs within the next 5 years. If one should occur in the next 5 years, they would have to remit the balance, the suspended portion, which would be $800. So we hope that doesn't happen. And, you know, this was a slightly larger gas line, so the fine was just a little bit more. And really, for me, the big part in all of this is you have a fine, you have a monetary amount that's assessed to company. And you want to get their attention, obviously, and obviously they're in a position where they're going to be fined. But the more important component is that they learn from the mistake, that it doesn't occur again, and then other companies in the process are watching these proceedings, and they learn or remind themselves of the North Dakota one-call law and the importance, because the dangerous thing about these line hits are actually line hits that aren't recognized. That is can be an even greater danger, that if a line is nicked and it's not apparent that it was damaged, it's covered up again, that gas will migrate in the trench. It'll go through the path of least resistance. It could wind up at the foundation of a building, a residence. It could build, and then eventually it could ignite and an explosion could occur. And we see that happening in different spots around the country. And it can result in serious injury and loss of life. So we want to make sure that, obviously, when these hits occur, we handle them appropriately, which I think we do. But we also want to stay on top of the educational component because of situations and scenarios like I just described. So I think that is all I have on this, and I think it's worth pointing out that they were also, if I didn't mention it before, they were a first-time offender and were good to work with as well, according to staff.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just mention here that this one clearly shows the multi-levels that of issues that can exist on this and how important communication is along the way. Apparently in this one there was a locate done at some point. It just was too far in the past to be relevant or to be visible. And so the communication needs to be happening in these companies between the people calling for the locates and the people on the ground, so they know that the locates have been done and are valid. The person ultimately doing the excavation needs to be assured that the locates are valid. And I don't know how you avoid it here, but communication in this case clearly was missing. So really these companies just need to be making sure that all their staff understand the importance, the dangers that exist, that there's a lot of stuff underground buried they can't see, and they need to just all be on the same team working to be following the one call law to a T, so that no problems occur and that nobody is hurt.
Commissioner Christman, any comments?
No, sir.
When you're back live again, so.
Sensing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, my final item, I move the commission suspend the tariff, reduce the filing fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Firm General Contracted Demand Service Tariff, case number PU-20-335.
Second.
This goes to a application that MDU filed on July 6th, 2020 for approval of modifications to its firm general contracted demand service rate 74 and general provisions rate 100 tariffs. The tariff modifications are intended to clarify contract requirements for rate 74 and the applicability of the reservation charge rate 75 for seasonal customers. And the two things we'll look at are the proposed changes reasonable, and is there any other relevant information the commission should consider. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 6th, 2020. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And for more information, you can contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol. Just a couple real quick points on this. Again, it's a notice of opportunity for hearing. There's no rate change as a result of this. This is some language cleanup, language changes for this rate class. And this was actually an addition that would have officially, I believe, shown up in 2017. It would have begun in 2016 as a part of the rate case. But this is for customers who have self-generation capability and they want to make sure that they have fuel available, gas available 24/7, 365 days a year in the event of an outage of their regular service that they can then put their generator into use if needed. So, again, contract or language cleanup, I should say, for those contracted customers. And we'll see if we hear from anyone on it. Otherwise, we'll move forward as we normally do.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay. You know, one thing I probably should have mentioned at the beginning, but, you know, as we're going through this, we have two commissioners working remotely, dialing in remotely, and so that's why I don't have company up here at the bench today, but we've been doing this really since the beginning of the pandemic. We quickly figured out a way It was a great team effort across the board where we figured out how to keep things moving forward. And yesterday during a meeting that I had, someone complimented the commission on moving forward. And as I said, we never, you know, people are talking about a restart. We never stopped. We kept going throughout it all. And they said specifically, this individual was from Williston, that the Sanderson gas plant may not have happened if, or the timing would have certainly been pushed back significantly if it had, the decision had even been made 30 days later. So the process was no less strenuous, no less diligent, but that's just a great example of the good work everyone did on that, and I should have pointed that out to begin with. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have two items on my, in my portfolio today. First one is I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperative Lonesome Creek Station Phase 3 project, citing application case number PU-14-852.
Second.
This is really kind of a technicality required by law. Basin needs to certify the continued suitability of the site. It was originally approved for 6 45-megawatt simple cycle combustion turbines. They've constructed the site, I believe, with 5 of them. And because they didn't get all of them constructed within the 4-year permit window of the law, they have to come and certify the continued suitability of this site. It understandably seems a little bit awkward, but just because of a couple of the words in the way the law is written, we felt that this was the best way forward to just out of abundance of caution, give the public an opportunity to let us know if they have any concerns. And that the comments and requests for hearings must be received by August 23rd for this matter. Excuse me.
Bless you.
That concludes my remarks on this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. My next motion, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in FPL Energy Burley County Wind / Wilton Wind 2-1 transfer certificate number 88, permit number 98, citing application case number PU-20-301.
Second.
So on January, or on July 1st, FPL Energy Burley County Wind and Wilton Wind 1 LLC filed an application to transfer the corporate certificate number 88 and route permit number 98 from FPL Energy Burley County Wind to Wilton Wind 1 LLC. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by August 31st of this year if anyone has any issues with this transfer.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk. Commissioner Christman?
Okay, first of all, Mr. Chairman, great point on the Sanderson gas plant. That is an example of this commission doing some excellent work thanks to the team we surround ourselves with. On my first agenda item, depending on how current of a sample you might be looking at, this changed shortly before the meeting from an agenda item involving 6 cases down to 4. So if you're looking at the one with six, the second and the fifth one are no longer there. Those are case number PU-10-102 and case number PU-10-108. So this will apply only to the other four. I move the commission approve the parent guarantee filed on July 1st, 2020 in FPL Energy Oliver Wind 1 LLC, 50.6 megawatt Oliver Wind Energy Center, Center, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-101. Approved the parent guarantee filed on July 1st, 2020 in FPL Energy North Dakota Wind 2 LLC, Edgley 2 Wind Energy Center, Lemoore County, decommissioning plan and cost, and case number PU-10-106. Approved the guarantee filed on July 1st, 2020 in FPL Energy North Dakota Wind LLC, Edgley 1 Wind Energy Center, Lemoore County, case number PU-10-107. And approved the parent guarantee filed on July 1st, 2020 in FPL Energy Oliver Wind 2 LLC, 48 megawatt Wind Energy Center, Center, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-110.
We have a motion and a second.
Okay. Now you have a second.
I have a problem. The lips are moving before the audio comes through. Oh. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Mr. Chair.
I believe we're not quite ready for a vote. Do you have,
I'm sorry?
Do you have comments, Commissioner Christman?
Yeah, I didn't get in there soon enough after the second.
I'm sorry.
Highlighted. So, pretty long motion. You're probably glad that two of them came out so that I could wrap up only 67% of the time. But so these four facilities that have left now have been operational for greater than 10 years. And based on our prior rulemaking, they were not required to file decommissioning financial assurances. However, effective July 1st, the commission now requires these financial assurances. So the commission has already approved each facility's decommissioning plan and cost estimate. Now each facility proposed their parent guarantee for the full amount of the approved decommissioning dollar amount without deducting salvage value, with NextEra Energy Capital Holdings as the guarantor. NextEra Energy Capital Holdings is rated in the A category by S&P Global Ratings. The total dollar amount that the proposed decommissioning financial assurances covers equals $12,095,000 now with the other two out. I will also point out that if someone has seen the previous list, instead of 259 megawatts, these four amount to 160.1 megawatts and 95 turbines. Staff recommends approval of these decommissioning financial assurances in these four cases as well.
My apologies, Commissioner. Now we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Whoop. Sorry.
I want to say something. This is a really big package of financial assurances, and I just want to take 1 minute to, again, give credit to Commissioner Christman for pursuing this and really leading us down this path. One of the main questions I get when talking to the public about wind facilities is, even for regardless of where you are, whether you love wind or don't love wind, most people agree that we want to make sure that we have the right assurances in place to decommission and reclaim these sites when the wind farms aren't viable anymore. And the reality is, you know, that has taken some time to get into place, and Now we have a really strong program in place with financial assurances that really goes a long way to providing uniform standards statewide, regardless of the county permitting requirements, to provide resources to appropriately reclaim these sites in the future when they won't be operating anymore. This is a really big deal. These wind farms cover tens of thousands of acres. We have hundreds of thousands of acres in our state that are occupied with wind farms now. And we want to assure that when those farms are no longer operational, that we have the facilities or the resources in place to reclaim that land and return it to its as close as possible to its original state. And really, Commissioner Crisman has spearheaded this since he first got on the commission and helped make that possible. So thank you, Randy. That's a really big deal, and it's going to be part of your lasting legacy here. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, could I have leave to change the order here and have my next four items go in the order of RC5, then RC4, then RC2, and then RC3?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so RC5, I move the commission approve revision number 16, the surface coal mining permit, number BNCR-9401, held by BNI Coal Limited, to identify the next five-year coal removal areas and update the legal and financial section and operations and reclamation plans for the next five-year permit term.
Second.
So this is a permit revision that is part of the process of getting a renewal to a coal permit. And just a reminder, the renewals are done every 5 years or sooner if there's probably too much change, but typically every 5 years. But before the renewal, we revise things, and that's what this revision seeks to do. So the permitted area in question here includes 381.88 acres, very small permit. Mining has been conducted in this area solely really to remove lignite prior to the construction of disposal cells for flue gas desulfurization sludge from Minn Kota's Milton R. Young station. Four disposal cells, which are regulated by the North Dakota Department of Environmental the North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality, have been constructed to date. Disposal cells 1, 2, and 3 have been bond released as industrial areas and now are under the exclusive jurisdiction of the DEQ. In 2017, privately owned coal was removed from a portion of disposal cell 4, but there was federally owned coal under there too, and they never could get the approval from the federal government to remove that. So for the environmental activists who might feel like they really accomplished something by having the federal government and the Obama administration drag out those kinds of releases and save that coal, well, guess what? The land was all disturbed anyway, and now there's a landfill over the top of it that's being used. But significant revenue for the federal government, for the state government, and for Oliver County was left down in the hole because we had to leave that federal coal there. So big accomplishment there. After the private coal was removed, disposal cell 4 was constructed and Minn Kota began operating the cell in 2018. The bond release for disposal cell 4, even though it's still being used, but because it is now an active disposal site, that review is already underway by us to turn that over to DEQ. Now, disposal cell 5 is proposed for construction in 2023, and the coal will be removed pending Department of Interior approval of a lease and mine plan approval that will allow DNI to mine the federal coal. Now, that could be delayed a couple more years had we been able to take that federal coal out of number 4, but because it's still under there, the cell is not as deep as it otherwise would have been, so now more land needs to be disrupted. Anyway, so number 5 is underway. So a special condition number 1 to this revision is it prohibits the overburden and coal removal on the federal coal track unless the lease is acquired and federal mine plan approval is granted. However, the condition allows soil removal and other activities on this track to the extent that the surface disturbances are necessary to support mining operations on the adjacent non-federal land. Also, even though it's a very small permit, there is also a haul road that crosses it from another permit area that goes over to the Young Station, and that will probably be used for the next 30 years. So revision number 16 was considered a significant alteration to the mining and reclamation plan. It was therefore subject to the notice, hearing, and procedural requirements. DNI submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notice, indicating that it was published in the Center Republican and the Bismarck Tribune for 4 consecutive weeks. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members. We received no comments or objections to this revision application. The existing surety bond is for $1,404,271, and that's sufficient to cover the worst-case reclamation cost estimate for this small permit. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of the revision application and recommends its approval as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
RC4, I move the commission approved renewal number 5 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-9401 held by BNI Coal Limited for the center mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for the next 5 years until August 16, 2025.
Second.
So this now is a renewal for the permit area where we just approved the revision. Coal removal is projected for the next permit term when disposal cell 5 is constructed in 2023. A portion of the permit is also used to support mining and permit number 1101, and what it is that haul road I had mentioned. Renewal number 5 was subject to the notice, hearing, and procedural requirements. BNI submitted the affidavit to publication for the newspaper notice, indicating that it was published in the Center Republican and Bismarck Tribune for 4 consecutive weeks. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. There were no objections to this application received. Evidence of adequate performance bond and liability insurance are on file, as I mentioned earlier. Covered by assurance and a surety bond in the amount of just over $1.4 million. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this renewal application and recommends approval as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, now I'd like to jump back to RC2. I move the commission approve revision number 41 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-9702 held by BNI Coal Limited to identify the next 5-year coal removal sub areas and to update the legal and financial operations and reclamation permit sections for the next five-year permit term.
Second.
Well, now we're back to, as in earlier, this is a revision again that precedes the renewal. This is a much larger one. This revision is part of a permit containing 7,655 acres located kind of southwest of center. BNI plans to disturb about 450 acres during this next permit term to produce about 2 million tons of coal per year. So 10 million tons on these 450 acres. BNI has a lease application pending with the Bureau of Land Management for about 290 acres of the federal coal. BNI has acquired surface leases to disturb the federal coal tracts to the extent necessary for conducting mine operations on adjoining tracts where the coal is privately owned. But special condition number one attached to this revision prohibits any overburden or coal removal from the federal coal tract until BNI receives the coal lease and the Secretary of Interior approves the federal mine plan. This revision adds a secondary post-mine topography design to reclaim a final pit in the event that the federal coal lease is not acquired. I sure hope we don't have to use that. But as I highlighted in the last case where that federal coal was just looking stupid because they couldn't get the permit in time, that was only a small acreage, though. So when I mentioned the federal government, state government, and Oliver County losing some revenue, that wasn't a great deal of money. In this case, if it would happen that they're unable to do that, like in the last one, most of the disruption will occur because it's allowed in order to get the privately owned coal adjacent to it. But if feds drag their feet too long, this too will be bypassed, and all that revenue will be lost. Just dreadful to imagine. The revision was considered a significant alteration to the approved mining and reclamation plan and is therefore subject to the notice, hearing, and procedural requirements. BNI submitted the affidavit to publication for the newspaper notice indicating that it was in fact published in the Center Republican and Bismarck Tribune for four consecutive weeks. Surface owners within the permit area, the appropriate agencies, and our advisory committee members were notified of the application and the opportunity to submit comments or objections or to request an informal conference on the application. No comments, objections, or requests were received on this application. The existing surety bonds that total $35,067,865 is sufficient to cover the worst case reclamation cost estimate for the Center Mine consolidated bond area. And that covers this and three other permits in this case. Our reclamation staff has completed its review and recommends approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, so by now you're noticing the pattern. This next one, I move the commission approve renewal number 4 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-97020 owned by BNI Coal Limited to extend the permit term for another 5 years until August 2nd, 2025.
Second.
Okay, so this, like in the previous two cases, this is the renewal for the permit area where we just approved that revision. By the way, it's only kind of coincidental. Each of these permit areas, the renewal and revision go together, but the two permit areas wouldn't necessarily go together. They're a pretty long process because of the wonderful thoroughness of our reclamation team. It just happened that both of these came together at this time for the same meeting. But so this corresponds to that revision. Coal removal is planned to be nearly complete in this area during the next permit term. The renewal for was subject to the notice, hearing, and procedural requirements. B&I, again, as I mentioned at the previous revision, submitted the affidavit of publication for the newspaper notices, indicating that it was published in the Center Republican and the Bismarck Tribune for 4 consecutive weeks. The surface owners within the permit area, the appropriate agencies, and our advisory committee members were notified of the renewal application and the opportunity to submit comments or objections. None were received. The evidence of the adequate performance bond and liability insurance are on file. As I mentioned, this and 3 other permits are combined with surety bonds that total over $35 million. Our team has completed their review of the renewal application, recommends approval, and do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
And lastly, we'll move on to something other than the coal mine renewal revisions. I move the commission to adopt the order in Quest Corporation. Kids the PAP, and I'll explain those in a minute, revision, case number PU-20-087.
Second.
Under the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996, Quest Corporation, doing business with CenturyLink, is required to provide open access to their networks, facilities, and services to other providers of telecommunications services, such as competitive local exchange carriers. Measures known as performance indicators, that's the PIDs, provide specific data about the quality of open access provided by CenturyLink to those other carriers. And a performance assurance plan, that's the PAP, applies specific standards or goals that the performance measures must accomplish. CenturyLink filed an application with the PSC for approval of amendments to its PIDs and PAP. The proposed amendments were prompted by a Federal Communications Commission order because of basically the evolution of the industry. CenturyLink is requesting approval of the amendment and requesting that existing interconnection agreements be modified to incorporate these amendments. On March 18th, the PSC issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until May 4th for comments and requests for hearing. No comments or requests for hearing were received. The notice stated that if deemed appropriate, we could determine the matter without a hearing. But on June 10th, we did hold an informal hearing to further discuss the filing with Quest Corporation and our staff. And we did that a lot in my mind because we just don't get to work with PIDs and PAPs every day. And we really wanted to spend that time talking about it. So the request seems appropriate to me. And staff also recommends approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. I don't know how you top PIDs and PAP. And that's one of the things I had to learn when I joined the Public Service Commission. When you're working with companies like MDU and NSP and you're doing ADPs and you got PIDs and PAPs on GRCs and you name it, it gets very, very acronym heavy. And I could probably go on for about 2 minutes that way, if not longer. Maybe that'll be a little shtick that I put together sometime. But really good. Right.
Bill Thorne's got a good shtick on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would have a field day with the acronyms we work with.
He's got a good acronym. Already.
He does, and it seems like he can hardly go out in public without somebody asking us about Quest, Kids, and Path. So big field update.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Okay, so for announcements, we have a 1:30. Actually, is it 1:30 or 1 o'clock, Steve?
I am showing 1:30.
Is it 1:30 today?
30.
Let's just double check that. I'm just pulling up my calendar right now, and it. You know what?
Mine's at 1:30.
Okay, no, it is 1:30.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So we have a 1:30 for MDU. I described these earlier. These are deferred accounting cases related to the impact of COVID-19 and costs that the utilities possibly have incurred, additional costs. So we'll have to see what they have to say on that. But at 1:30, we have MDU. At 2:30, we have NSP, and at 3:15, we have Otter Tail. All three of those are informal hearings. And for NSP, it would be both electric and gas. MDU would be electric and gas. And then Otter Tail would be just electric. Then our next regular commission meeting is Wednesday, August 5th at 10 a.m., and normally I would say here in the commission room, but whether it's here in the commission room or we do it in part remotely, we will still have our regular meeting. We'll make it work one way or the other. We'll now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, and then if we could just jump right into the admin portion. I don't think it'll be very long following that. I do have a meeting I need to get to, hopefully by 11:30, but we'll take care of business first. So we are now in adjournment.
Mr. Chairman, just one note. I will be doing the afternoon meetings also remotely.
Okay. Okay, we might want to.
As will I.
Okay. And Steve, we might want to look at how we seat people. And I believe I just said adjournment, but we'll actually be in recess for a few minutes while we take questions from the press.